Well, probably for 15 years that we've had a youth education program. But in more recent years, we've sort of intensified it and added new technology to it, particularly the teleconferencing technology. Jerry Schottky from our youth education department can put on programs, which we now refer to as the Heart of a Hall of Famer program, where Hall of Famers in particular, sometimes other NFL players, talk about what it takes to achieve Hall of Fame level of success in any field of endeavor. And what it takes is a heart of a Hall of Famer, characters or characteristics such as courage, good citizenship, good education, those kinds of pillars. And we talk to young people, or the Hall of Famers do, try to encourage them to live up to their potential in achieving success in life.
It seemed that the first time for this program with the Browns went extremely well. It seemed like the young people in that audience were engaged. The panelists did a great job.
Yes, the panelists were superb. And it would probably be easy for them to be superb because they've lived those experiences. And they've triumphed over big difficulties in their life, some having to do with racial inequalities, but some having to do with just the challenges that every young person has to face. And I think they did a tremendous job in inspiring these kids to prepare themselves and to strive to achieve the highest levels of success in their chosen fields of endeavor.
Through the years with this program, what's been your sense of its success? And with regard to any hearing back from some of the young people or from some of the teachers from the schools, what's been the feedback?
The feedback has been very, very positive, as you point out, both from the educators and from the students. And certainly part of that success is due to the fact that football is such an enormously popular sport. And students tend to look at football players with a high level of regard. And sometimes your parent or your teacher can say something, but it doesn't have the same impact that it has if John Wooten says it. So by having a panel of not only football players, but football players who achieved at the highest levels, talk to these students was, I'm sure, very inspiring for them. And I'm sure we've already gotten some positive feedback, and I'm sure we'll get a lot more positive feedback about today's program.
And I think the panel mixture was very nice because you had players from different eras, and it seemed quickly that the kids understood in asking some of their questions based on when these guys played in their particular time period and how things changed through, again, race relations and such, and how players were treated by their own teams or by individuals that they came across, and that those were powerful stories too.
Yeah, and I would imagine that some of these young people would find it difficult to even relate to some of the challenges that the players had to face, like not being able to room together when they traveled as a team, not being able to play certain positions on the team because of their race and because of stereotypes. And today's young people don't have to encounter that kind of thing. They have other challenges to encounter, gangs, drugs, teen pregnancy, a number of other things that weren't as prevalent in our day. But you're right, they were still nevertheless very engaged and seemed to be able to be inspired by people who lived in a different generation and faced different problems and challenges, but they hopefully can convert that to their own present-day situation.
Well, a couple of things. It was historic, first of all. It was a great honor for me to be a part of this panel and to hear these men I've looked up to and I've worked with and I've watched play football. They're all great football players, but the most important thing is that these are very fine men. So, you know, that's first. And then for me, it was just cathartic. I mean, there's things that you want to recount about your life and about the 60s and all of the things that happened in the 60s. And you know, I don't always know whether an audience of 15, 16, 17-year-olds is going to be able to relate to that. But I think, you know, the context in which you deliver that information is very important when you're dealing with these kids. And I'm fortunate because I get a chance to work with kids like this, not only in this city but all over the country. So, you know, I kind of have an idea of what's on their minds, what's bothering them, what they're confronted with. And so even though the issues are extraordinarily different in terms of these times, I think the life management skills that are required to deal with these are appropriate for whether it be the 60s or the year 2012.
And it's interesting that as I watch this audience of young people, of, again, teenagers, high school kids, and you never know what the attention level is going to be in something like this. It seemed as if they were engaged. They asked great questions, and they really wanted to know what it was like. I mean, because there were challenges in race relations that you dealt with because of your era of growing up and going through and playing high school ball, college ball, pro football, that these young people haven't experienced and don't know about, but they wanted that history lesson.
Yes, I think one of the common denominators when you start talking about black history is you know that they are going to have studied and know the history and of Martin Luther King. And so Martin Luther King still represents a touchstone for all Americans because, first of all, it's the history of America. It was a very, very turbulent time and really kind of a turning point, I believe, in America after April 4th, 1968. That's why I threw out that, how many of you know about April 4th, 1968? And then they knew that date because I think kind of America stood still that night. Those of us who were alive at that point in time know where we were. I was on that street in Boston, in Roxbury, Massachusetts, a college kid come out of the dorms, and we had a black student group, and we knew that we'd better get out on those streets and kind of do what we could to keep Roxbury and Dorchester from burning down or from innocent people being shot by police. Because to tell you the truth, it had to be very difficult for white policemen to be out on those streets with stuff burning and all of these mass crowds, and the police pulled his gun and put it in my face, and
what did you do at that moment?
I stopped because I was actually coming around a corner and I may have surprised him, and I stopped. But little did I know that the Boston Globe, and they got wind of it that night, and then there was a very big story in the newspapers, I think a couple of days later, and they're talking about this BU football star who had gone out on the streets. But that wasn't anything that was unusual for me, because I'd come from Southeast Washington, the projects of Anacostia, so, I was comfortable in that environment. All I was trying to do is keep black folks from being killed.
And you told a powerful story before that you got up there on the panel that really resonated with me because from your time at BU and a person you befriended, and I want you to take it from here, but was a quarterback on that team and how he treated you through some very tough times.
Oh, yeah. Joe Serino was my first opportunity coming to Boston. I had everything in a bag and I was – roomed with this white kid from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And first of all, he was the coolest guy, one of the coolest guys I've ever met in my life. And, I remember one day I was doing a game for NBC in Boston. I was doing the Patriots and somebody, and there was a knock on the broadcast door. And I turned around, and it was Joe Serino. And I said, let him in, because we'll be friends and brothers to the day I die, because I was all alone in Boston. I was away from my element, and this guy accepted me. If there had been race issues in America, you would have never known it between the two of us, because he was God-sent to me, and he took care of me. And even when I was on the streets of Boston, Boston was terribly divisive at that time. I mean, as you know, I mean, it was tough up there. And, if they would go someplace, if we wanted to go someplace, maybe it was in Southie, he would say, no, we better not go there. And he wouldn't say why, but I knew, because I was with all the other, I'd be the only black guy in the group. And they'd say no, and I knew why. He didn't want, Joe was always looking out for me, and that's not a good place for Reggie to go. So he would always watch. He'd look out for me with, you know, because, you know, you didn't get, your scholarship didn't allow you to eat on Sundays and all that kind of stuff in those days. He'd make sure I had food and gave me money and so forth. So, and, you know, to come from where I came from and then to be paired up with this guy was just so enlightening for me. It really opened my eyes to what people, good people, basically people are very good.
I thought it was, on my part, it was outstanding from the point of the Browns, the NFL, the Hall of Fame, to do this kind of a thing, because it gives you a chance to speak directly to young people and to let them see how all of this comes together for them. You know what I mean? And I think it stabilized them to the point that they give them an inner strength. You know what I mean? To say, hey, I can get this done. As Steve pointed out, nothing is going to block my dream. You know, I'm going there, as I made mention, there are people out here that you don't even know will help you. When they see you working and moving forward and so forth, and you know, we've seen the league change. And the commissioner says it very openly. The NFL is a better place because of diversity. And we're talking men and women, you know. The diversity and inclusion, that the NFL is a better place. All of this is working for the good of just what all we're about, you know, and everything in terms of, and I'm just proud to be a part of it.
Well, you're a big part of it, in the, also in the respect of being chairman of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, which is an affinity group that works in conjunction with the league as it relates to the hiring of coaching, scouting, front office positions. And it's been a very impactful program.
And it has just been, I was telling my wife last night, there's nothing more gratifying than to, you know, and I was talking to the commissioner the other day, and I said, you remember 5 years ago, I called you because the Giants were going to hire a general manager, right? And Ernie Accorsi, who you know very well, had called me, and he said, John, he said, you know, I have backed you off of interviews with Jerry Reese at Seattle and all those places because I told you I was training them here to take over. And now they're trying to circumvent him and go with, and I'll call the names, Charlie Casserly, Scott Pioli. He said, John, that's not right. I got on the line. I called the commissioner. This is Dr. King's birthday, February 15th, 5 years ago. And the commissioner called me back and said, they will announce Jerry Reese this afternoon.
You know, how special.
That's gratifying. That is just so gratifying, you know.
And two Super Bowls later, not a bad hire.
Two Super Bowls later. I mean, we know he doesn't do all the work himself. But, you know, the Victor Cruises and all these different guys that he bought in there, you know, the Blackburns and that are playing such great football for him, you know, Pierre Paul, you know. I mean, guys that, you know, people thought about it and condemned him about bringing those, you know, that this guy's a basketball player. Now look at this guy's, 16 sacks? And, you know, one of the greatest things, Vic, the other night, Super Bowl Sunday night, I get a text. And it's from Jerry Reese, and he says, thank you for believing in me. You know, I mean, that passes anything else, that here you put your faith in a guy, and he delivers, and he's happy for it, and he's thanking you for the, you know. I mean, that's what this whole thing is about, you know.